open with hymn number 70. Our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and bring forth salvation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Thank you.
and with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, it is meet and right that we should give thanks unto thee that thou hast given us a more glorious baptism than that of John, and hast therein promised us the remission of sins, the Holy Spirit, and everlasting life through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Preserve us, we beseech thee, in such faith in thy mercy and grace, that we may never doubt thy promise, but be comforted by the same in all temptations. And grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may renounce sin and ever continue in the righteousness bestowed upon us in baptism, until by thy grace we may obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lesson for this fourth Sunday in Advent is found in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 19. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will requite it of him. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle for this day is found in the fourth chapter of Philippians, the fourth through the seventh verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here ends the epistle. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Hallelujah. First chapter of John, the 19th through the 28th verse. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which sent him were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends the gospel. We now confess that the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 63. Which are come from Babylon, And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. And speak unto them, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crowns shall be to Helam, and to Tobiah, and to Jediah, and to Hen the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are afar off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, since the days of Moses, God has sent many prophets out into the world to deal with the various conditions of his people. Yet because it's the same God who sent them, and since God doesn't change, neither does his word, whether it was Moses, or Isaiah, or Zechariah, or finally John the Baptist, their preaching has always been the same. God will send a prophet unlike any other, who will be a priest and a king. He shall save his people from their sins. Therefore, repent and prepare to receive him. Though there were others before him, such as Adam and Seth and Abraham and Isaac, Moses was the first of the prophets, as we have come to know them, who bore the word of God, not only for the people to whom he was sent, but for all future generations. For it is through Moses that God brought to us the history of creation and of the first gospel promises of Christ made to Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But as Moses was preparing for his own death, he declared to Israel, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." So when the scribes and Pharisees sent representatives, when they heard that John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, they asked him, "Art thou that prophet?" In other words, that one that Moses was speaking of. And John answered, "No, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." John was the last in the line of prophets, pointing to that one prophet. My friends, all the prophets from Moses to John were sent unto us, so that we might know that God keeps his promises. Though time for us stretches on and the world is going to be full of reasons to doubt him, by the preaching of the prophets, God, even today, after these prophecies have been fulfilled, wants to remind us continually that he has always been faithful. And therefore we should firmly believe that God will deliver his people through his Son, Jesus Christ, by finishing the work that he has begun in us through his birth, death, and resurrection. And so what should be the way that we live in this world, since God has assured us of his promises? The history of Israel teaches us about our own inclination to set aside the word of the Lord and to forget his promises, to doubt them, even though the Lord has never broken them even once, and in fact, countless times, has shown his word to be true. That prophet of whom Moses wrote did come, and he has become our salvation. Nevertheless, we live in a faithless world, where even the people who bear Christ's name hardly believe a word which God has said. Isaiah, or rather Israel, was no more hard of heart than any other people. And we should not think of ourselves as better or brighter than they. If Israel needed these constant warnings of the prophets to continue to faithfully hold to the covenant which God had made with them in Christ, then you can be certain that we also need them. God gave prophets to Israel, and he also gave them types. The prophets spoke his word, and the types were vivid pictures, events which God orchestrated to present to the people a picture of Christ, to keep him constantly on their minds. Therefore, let us also take heed of them, that we may be reminded of the promises of our Lord, and confirmed in our faith that God in Jesus Christ has reconciled the whole world. Here in Zechariah, you have a most excellent type of Christ. The setting is in Jerusalem during the building of the second temple. The first temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and Israel was taken into captivity. But then God raised up Cyrus, Darius and Cyrus of the Persians, who after conquering the Babylonian Empire, decreed, especially King Cyrus decreed, that God's temple would be rebuilt in Jerusalem because the Lord sent prophets to command him to do so. And Cyrus honored the word of the Lord. But at that time, Israel was still under captivity. The Babylonians had given way to the Persians, who were far more benevolent to the Jews than were their predecessors. But yet, Israel still did not have their own king, and they would not for some time. The bulk of the people still lived in Babylon. Nevertheless, some were sent back to Judea by Cyrus, as we hear in 2 Chronicles 36, to rebuild the temple, to reestablish the Jewish capital in Jerusalem. In many ways, this period in time mirrored that which would come later, when Christ came, for Israel was then also under the dominion of a foreign power, Rome. And yet they had their own capital. The root of Jesse, then, at the time of Zechariah, as well as later. The line of kings who were descended from David seemed to be cut off. It was just a stump. Now, during the days of Zechariah, God was preparing to bring Judah out of captivity and bring them back to their own land. But in preparation for that time, God wanted them to have a lasting sign before their eyes, so that they would remember why it is that they were his people and where their salvation lay. At that time, the high priest was a man named Joshua. Now, the Hebrew name Joshua is the same as Jesus in Greek. And so in the Old Testament, translated into Greek, the very one that was used by Christ and the apostles, this passage literally reads that Jesus was high priest at that time. He is the second man in the Old Testament to bear that name and also be a type of Christ. For the first Joshua conquered the enemies of God in the land of Canaan and brought Israel into the promised land, even as our Lord Jesus conquered sin and death and leads his church into eternal life in heaven. Now in this case, the sign which God commanded here is unique in all the history of Israel. God commanded that gold and silver, probably sent by the Jews who were in Babylon, be fashioned into crowns, joined into one, and that Joshua the high priest be crowned as a king. This had never happened before, that the high priest was crowned as a king. Then the witnesses who saw this ceremony were to go back to Babylon to show all of Israel what God had done and to tell them what it meant. The meaning of this sign forms the remaining verses in our lesson. First, Joshua the high priest was crowned as a king. He was crowned at a time when the line of David had dried up. Even so, Christ the Lord would come, and he would be our high priest. And he would come as a branch from that stump. He would rise up as a true king to take the throne of Israel and of the whole nation. From this you should learn not to trust your reason, nor the evidence which the enemies of God offer you constantly to prove that God is a liar. When God fulfills his promises, don't forget, it's usually the case that there's no evidence that he's going to do so, other than his word of promise. The kingdoms of the world rage against God. We are told in the scriptures they will do so until the end of time. And the devil will drive them to do everything in their power to impede and prevent the promises which God has made. Why else do you suppose that in our day every institution of education and learning proclaims that God's word is foolishness and that there was no creation and that Christ did not rise? Using only your senses and your reason, you would have to agree with them. But God's wisdom is greater than ours. He rules, as Psalm 110 says, right in the midst of his enemies, even in those places where they are taking counsel in secret together against him. Therefore, let God be true, as Romans 3:4 says, and every man a liar, for thus they shall always be proven to be. Joshua, like Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, was at the same time a priest and a king. He was crowned in a special manner. Note that the Persians took no offense, for they understood that thus the Lord commanded, and this would not be a rival to their power. So also when Christ was born, men from afar came and proclaimed the birth of the King of the Jews. And 33 years later, the people paved the way for him with palm branches and hosannas as he entered Jerusalem to win his throne. And there the Roman governor asked Jesus plainly if he were a king. And Jesus answered plainly that he was indeed a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. The nature of his kingdom is unlike anything that men know. Even though he was the Lord of all, the kings of the earth continue to rule, but now at his bequest. From this you should learn that we should indeed honor the governments which God has established over us, but that no one, no matter how much power he may have, can usurp the throne of Christ. For he rules in the hearts of his people, a place that all the powers of this world cannot touch. Indeed, the witnesses who beheld the crowning of Joshua were to bring word back to the Jews, so that they might know that Joshua, the priest, was crowned as a king. And this was to represent not a worldly kingdom, but God's spiritual kingdom of grace. For with that word they held out to the people peace. Joshua was not that king, but he was a type of the king that would come. Therefore God put words into the mouths of the witnesses that they might explain to the people that even in this manner one would come who would be both a priest and a king, the branch. And he would build a kingdom, which he says all men would come to from near and far. Now the chief work of Joshua, the high priest at that time, was to oversee the building of the second temple. And so also this was the chief work of Christ, the Lord. Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12 declare, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And so our Lord Christ also has, as his chief role, to build up his temple, not the one made with hands, but the one, unlike the first, second, and third, which were destroyed, which is built on his own body and blood as its foundation. And upon that foundation, all of the members of his church are its stones. 1 Peter 2:5 declares, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In Joshua's day, the Jews were afar off. They were mostly still in Babylon. And yet, God invited them from afar to come to his holy city of Jerusalem and to build up his temple once more. Even so, under the kingdom of Christ, God would call out to men from afar, the Gentiles from every nation, and bring them to build up the temple, that is, the holy Christian church, so that it would abide forever. So what then is the special meaning that Christ is a prophet, but also a priest and a king? It is not like a man who has three different jobs that he occupies at different times for different purposes. In Christ, it is called a threefold office, but it is only one office. He is at the same time and always prophet, priest, and king. And our lesson here in Zechariah declares the purpose of that office, to bring peace. It says, peace shall be between them both. In other words, as priest and king, he comes together as in one office to bring peace. Why does Jesus need to be our king and our priest? Because the peace that he brings is nothing that a mere earthly priest can bring. And it is not the type of external world peace that a king could bring. As our priest, he offers his own body and blood to atone for the sins of the world. And as king, he has the power and authority to accomplish that sacrifice. As prophet, he has the power to preach this peace right into our hearts. Only if Christ were both priest and king could he bring true peace, eternal peace to all men. Without his priestly sacrifice, he could not atone for sin. Without his kingly power and Godhead, his life would not have had the value necessary to do it. Without his preaching, no man would know that God in Christ Jesus had reconciled them to himself. Only in one who is at the same time prophet, priest, and king could we be redeemed. And already here at Zechariah, in Zechariah's time, God had revealed the nature of his promised prophet to his people. My friends, by faith you have learned that God has kept this promise. You are one of those who have come from far and are even now building up his temple. You are built up in it when you believe his word, and when you engage in the work of building it up when you declare his word to men. The word of our Lord is always fruitful, and so do not doubt it, and do not fear men, for they will scoff at you. It's inevitable. And though Christians, because of their faith, are indeed the laughing stock of this world, it is not us at whom they laugh, but it is God, for it is his word. Even so also, only he can take vengeance on those who scoff. But we have a certain vengeance that we take out upon them also. Our vengeance is to love them and to hold Christ before their eyes. God's word of prophecy has saved our hearts from the very darkness which the world manifests around us. And it shall save others also, perhaps even the very men who laugh at you. May God grant that you persevere until the day that all those from afar are brought into the temple of the Lord, his holy Christian church. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, bless these gifts which we offer unto thee, that they may be fruitful in performing the work of thy kingdom. Amen. O Heavenly Father, who hast made all things in heaven and earth to serve thy will and to witness to thy glory and goodness, we give thee our humble and joyful thanks for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation that thou hast provided for all men in him. With contrite hearts, we turn to thee, O God. We acknowledge our transgressions and confess that we have failed to do the good which we ought to have done, and that we have done the evil which we ought not to have done. Awaken us to our need of daily repentance and renewal. Grant us the remission of all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ and his merits, that we may have the peace which passes all understanding. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Sanctify the words of our lips by the indwelling of Christ our Lord. Perfect in purity and holiness the works of our hands by obedience to thy word. And now in the assurance that thou art nigh to all who call upon thee in truth, we pray for all men everywhere. Let thy Spirit prevail in every home and school, in every shop and store, and in every kind of labor or industry. Show forth thy honor and glory to the nations of the earth. Overthrow all who would hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Support and preserve all who are persecuted for his name's sake. Be with the homeless, the fatherless, the comfortless, and help them in their affliction to trust in thee, sending them such deliverance as shall turn their hearts and bring them to a confession of that name which is above every name, Jesus Christ. Make thy face to shine upon the wounded in spirit, the sick in mind, and the distressed in heart. Accompany all who are away from home in any service or calling with thy light and love. Send thine aid and comfort to the captives, the desolate, and all who are in peril of life or soul. Be gracious unto the sick and the aged, those who anguish, the dying, and those who mourn their passing. Lift up thy countenance upon them and give them the perfect peace of thy holy child Jesus. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we might receive by faith and with thanksgiving the gift that no words can describe, Jesus Christ our Lord. Make our hearts his dwelling place, that we may know the joy of his presence, the blessing of following in his steps, and the glory of that crown which he has promised to all who are his in steadfastness of faith and life. In his name, amen. We sing hymn number 62. Thank you. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Thanks unto the name of the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he cometh again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.